brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
A few minutes before we announce the guest.
Hey, welcome to Saturday Special, ladies and gentlemen. It's MZ. Okay, and we are welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Promises to be a good one today. I think it will, anyhow. We've got a real interesting guest with a real interesting topic for at least the first half hour or so. So do stay with us, and there's a lot more happening after that.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to have, there is our crosstalk. There's no promo this week because up until just a little while ago, we thought we were going to be doing one of those great open mic programs where the callers can themselves decide the fate of the program and choose the topics. But we are going to have a topic that will involve a guest here, at least for the first half hour, and that topic is Proposition 13. In the state of California, constitutional amendment passed by the voters back in 1978, a time in our California history where many people were upset that their property taxes were being reassessed upward at an alarming rate that was causing many people to actually lose their houses because they were unable to afford paying the taxes that they had no control over. So a gentleman by the name of Howard Jarvis, who with his friend Paul Gann back in 1978 proposed the Jarvis Amendment to the California State Constitution that became known as Proposition 13. It passed overwhelmingly by the voters back then in 1978, and what it did was provide that no reassessment of California real property may occur until it is sold. And then the new assessment would be based upon the actual selling price, and it would be the tax would be 1% of the selling price, and it could go, I think it could go up about 1% a year if I'm not mistaken. At that time, the property tax assessments were rolled back to 1975 levels, I believe. Now, it could have been 1977, but the gentleman who is on the telephone, John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, can set us straight on all that. If I've said anything that's incorrect, I'm sure John will correct us. So let's welcome John to the Saturday Special. Are you there, John? Well, I guess Noah's getting ready to bring John up here. We have to make a few little changes here in the way that we do the program. So in the meantime, I will just tell people that Proposition 13 was really a boon for the state. Now, for school districts and so forth, Proposition 13, apparently a lot of public schools and school people will claim that Proposition 13 was a terrible thing for the economy because it stopped the a major source of funding that had built-in increases every year. So there is, I don't know, personally I feel very thankful that we've had Proposition 13 to keep our taxes, property taxes in check all these years. But there is a growing school of thought on the part of younger people who feel very, very resentful that they, for example, are having to pay sometimes 4, 5, 6, 10 times the property taxes for properties that are similar to the property next door where the person happens to have owned that property for many, many years. And many people feel that that is unjust and that they're talking about, I believe, a new constitutional amendment which would revoke rescind Proposition 13, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, very good. Let's bring John on and welcome him to the Saturday Special. Hello, John.
Hello. Can you hear me?
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Are we all connected now?
We are all connected now, and our my apologies for it taking a little while for that to happen. You probably didn't hear much of my monologue here, or did you?
I did. I did indeed. So,
okay.
Does
that mean it needs to be corrected?
Sounding great. I think we need to take a two-minute break and get you on the phone lines.
Okay. Is there anything that needs to be... all right. Well, you take over. No, I'll call back on the phone line.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get MZ back on the phone lines here in a second. You are tuned to KSCO Santa Cruz and KOMY Watsonville, and we will return to the Saturday special in a couple minutes, so keep it right here.
Hi, it's the Ovaltine Man. Kids all across America drink Ovaltine with milk because...
We love its rich chocolate taste.
But why do so many adults drink it?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine is high in calcium and antioxidants, like vitamins A, C, and E. Plus, it has iron I need, which I can't get from Nesquik powder or milk alone.
I drink Ovaltine every day. It's chock-filled with 17 vitamins and minerals. Nesquik powder doesn't come close.
So no matter how old you are, there are great nutritional reasons to drink rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
He wasn't too happy to hear it from me. But one day, you know, I just took a deep breath and said, man, we got to talk about this. I thought he was going to kill me, but he's come around.
It takes a lot of guts to talk to your friends about their problems with marijuana or drinking, but it could make all the difference. Go to freevibe.com for ways to do it and tips from kids who have been there. Courage, the anti-drug.
Paid for by ONDCP. NFL Hall of Fame player and coach.
Hey, I know the ability to stay in the game is what really counts, and that's why I take Levitra. Levitra, Vardenafil HCL. It works for me. Find out if it'll work for you. Take action and ask your doctor about prescription Levitra. Visit Levitra.com or call 1-866-LEVITRA today.
Individual results may vary. Ask if a free sample is right for you. Levitra. Stay in the game.
Gum Out Fuel Injector Cleaner presents a list of cleaned up words you can use the next time another motorist cuts you off. Gee Willikers. Gee Whiz. Golly. Horses Patoot. Shucks. Shoot. Phooey. Balderdash. And Poppycock. Gum Out. If we can clean out harmful deposits in your fuel injectors and restore lost performance, we can clean up anything. Gum Out. Good clean driving.
We now return to the Saturday special with Michael Zwirling. You there, Michael? Hello?
I am here. There Noah, we go. Thank you. Okay, so I'm on the phone line now. And okay, we were starting to talk with John from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. John, do I need to be corrected on anything that I said earlier?
And I think you've hit... all the major points. The one correction is that Prop 13 did lower the tax rate to a flat 1%, but then also limited annual increases in assessed value to 2% a year, not 1%. So the ordinary property tax of most property owners in California goes up 2% a year.
Mm-hmm. Were you involved in the original Howard Jarvis GAN tax constitutional amendment back in 1978?
No, I was not. I was not in California at that time. I moved to California in 1982. I joined a conservative public interest law firm at that time called the Pacific Legal Foundation.
Oh.
And was doing in some environmental cases, and as being the junior lawyer at the firm, we had a rule that you dealt with any walk-ins, anybody who walked into the law firm with some public policy issue. And one day, this gentleman by the name of Paul Gann walked in the door, and he didn't have an appointment. And he had a question over what at that time was the Gann spending limit. Prop 13 had already passed, and this is about the mid-'80s. And he was the one that actually got me interested in doing taxpayer advocacy work, first as a lawyer and now as the head of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Our organization, I think most of your listeners have probably heard of us, but we are California's largest taxpayers organization. We have over 200,000 members. We do not only lobbying. I'm at the Capitol quite a bit of the time. I'm here in Sacramento. We also have an office in Los Angeles. But we do, we have a full up and operating in-house litigating department.
Is Proposition 13 in danger of being overturned?
It's always in danger because the tax and spend crowd hates it. They will do anything and everything to try to overturn it. Fortunately, the popularity of Proposition 13 remains very high, and I would even extend that popularity, Michael, to even new homeowners. You mentioned earlier that some new homeowners may feel as though they're not getting the full benefits of Proposition 13, and if I could just explain to them why Prop 13 is important to them.
Please.
Even though they may be paying more tax than their neighbor for a similarly situated home, you've got to understand that the way Prop 13 works is that you're taxed on the amount, on the purchase price of the house that you were willing to pay at the time. And for the new homeowners, you not only get that benefit of the 1% rate cap, which, by the way, is very important, but you also get the benefit of that limitation in annual increases in the taxable value. So one of the things that, particularly new homeowners and young families are dreadfully afraid of is being taxed out of their homes. Prop 13 provides the new homeowner with certainty about their property taxes in the future, and I would submit that there would be nothing more tragic than having a new homeowner, a young family, who has purchased that home of their dreams, their first home, only to be
just
taxed
on. Your guest said it could only be on for around 30.
Only to be taxed out of it within a couple of years.
Right. Well, who is trying to get Prop 13 revoked, and where are they in the process?
Well,
how do you do
that?
I mean, this is a constitutional amendment. You have to do another constitutional amendment that says the first constitutional amendment is hereby null and void. How does that work?
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, there have been a number of initiatives. In fact, one passed back in year 2000. Proposition 39 reduced the vote threshold for school bonds from two-thirds down to a 55%. As a result of that, we've had about $30 billion worth of school bonds that have passed that would otherwise not have passed but for the passage of Prop 39. In order to pass that, they did amend one provision of Prop 13, which ratified or restated the existing two-thirds vote for local general obligation bonds, but that's just one small aspect of one small aspect of Proposition 13. I'm getting a little bit of voices in my ears, so if I hesitate there, I apologize. More fundamentally, there was a proposal to what we call split the roll, which was to tax commercial property at a higher tax rate than residential, and the proponents, including Rob Reiner of Hollywood, chose to withdraw that initiative just a couple weeks ago.
I don't understand why any provision of Prop 13 can be changed without the voters' consent. Can you explain that to me?
Proposition 39 did pass in November of 2000. It was a high Democratic turnout election, and of course they never said that they were changing Prop 13. What they said was Prop 39 is about school accountability, making schools accountable. They never mentioned the fact that it lowered the vote threshold for certain property taxes used to repay bonded debt. And
Why didn't someone say, hey, wait a minute, foul, this You got to tell the voters that they're going to be changing a previously approved constitutional amendment. Why isn't that required?
It was in the ballot pamphlet, but when you've got $30 million to spend on deceptive advertising, you can do a lot of damage. They had tried the exact same thing the election cycle just previous to that. And we beat them. They spent $20 million, and we're a grassroots organization. We could not raise nearly that money. But we beat them the time before. They came right back and tried the same thing, and this time they overwhelmed us. So That was unfortunate. We would like to reinstate that two-thirds vote for all local bonds. That is on our agenda, as is some other taxpayer-friendly measures. But in any event, the bottom line is this, Michael. The Prop 13, when people understand that it is being attacked, they don't want that to happen. They like Proposition 13. It has resulted in significant betterment of housing affordability in California. And so as long as we explain that whatever is being proposed threatens Prop 13, we can usually defeat it.
Okay. Let's put out the phone numbers, 479-1080 or 477-1340. Our phone numbers that will connect you to KSCO Studios, AM 1080, your favorite news talk radio station. In fact, your favorite radio station, period. The last independent radio voice in America, the only one that is not owned by some corporate company that the station is beholden to and very proud of it. 479-1080, 477-1340. If you want to jump on the phone lines with us here and ask a question or make a comment, the topic currently is Proposition 13, might its days be numbered here in California? And we've got the best guest we could possibly have on that topic, John Kupal, who is the head of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Let's go to our first caller. That would be line one, Bruce in Brookdale. So appreciate it. Bruce, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and John.
Good morning. Say, Proposition 13 is getting a lot of bad press. It actually brings in more taxes adjusted for inflation than before it was passed. But what happened in the state of California, the legislature took the funds that used to go to the county, and they confiscated, I think, the majority of them. And then when it comes to commercial property, see, a lot of PG&E plants just change hands. And so theoretically, the property taxes would go up. Except that, as I understand it, the legislature passed a law that said if the transfer of title takes place over 3 years, they don't get reassessed. So that's the legislature fooling around with how much money is coming in from Prop 13, not the initiative itself.
I think that's a very good point. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, let me just respond to that briefly. That is an excellent point. The amount of property tax revenue coming into California is now greater on a per capita inflation-adjusted basis than it was prior to Proposition 13. That's a testament to the value of property in this state, which I think the value of property is directly related to the fact that we have a moderate property tax load. But your caller is absolutely right. California, both at the state and local level, does not have a revenue problem. They have a spending problem. And the spending decisions made in Sacramento have had are a cause of most of the problems we have. I would add one more point to that. About the same time as Proposition 13, you also had the California Supreme Court issue the infamous Serrano decision, which essentially robbed local school districts of their local funding base. In other words, it was a requirement that school funding be equalized among all school districts in the state of California. And people say that Proposition 13 robbed local government of local control. That is in large part due to the Serrano decision and not Proposition 13.
Okay. Well, hope that answered your question, Bruce, and let's continue our discussion. It doesn't look like we have other callers here, but...
If I could follow up, because you also mentioned the fact that some of the things the legislature does on when property is deemed to be reassessed, and Prop 13 did not provide any definitional terms. It did not say, it did not have a huge long section defining what was a change of ownership that would trigger a reassessment. So that has been left up to the legislature. There are a few, not many, there are a few loopholes that some sophisticated corporations and major businesses still use to try to avoid a reassessment. That does not take a change in Proposition 13. That can be corrected by statute. We would certainly be in favor of closing those loopholes, but certainly with respect to most business properties. They're treated like everybody else. In fact, when Macy's underwent a corporate restructuring, it triggered reassessment, and they ended up getting about five times the property tax bill that they got previously, and they didn't like it. But and those evil oil companies, everybody always points to the oil companies as being horribly evil and bad. They are constantly reassessed, not because they change hands, but because there is also reassessment of property whenever you have improvements. And most oil properties, the refineries, are constantly being retooled. And so every time there is improvements or a retooling of a manufacturing facility, that also triggers reassessment, which, of course, brings in more tax revenue for local government. So, again, Prop 13 is its beauty is in its simplicity. And in fact, for all
it's wonderful law.
It is
it's
a wonderful law.
Wonderful law.
And for all its criticism of it, we are getting calls now from other states. How do we get Proposition 13 in our state? We just spoke last week to the governor of Texas, who called Rick Perry, who is looking very much to adopt a Prop 13-like system for the state of Texas.
I got a good question for you, John.
Sure.
You know, this was revolutionary. It was landmark initiative back in 1978. And in later years, we had Prop 87, which was voted through, involving what is it, illegal immigration, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it was overwhelmingly approved by the voters, but it's not law now because lawyers have gotten in and blocked it and prevented it from going into effect. My question to you is, how come that hasn't happened with Prop 13? Maybe they just weren't ready, they weren't sophisticated enough then, and if Prop 13, everything that Prop 13 was and is, was just now being proposed and just being voted on now, I've got this funny feeling that it wouldn't become law because they would find a way to keep it from becoming law. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's an interesting point. I think even though it was fairly simple, and of course there was an attack right after it passed. It was a huge, huge, massive California Supreme Court case in which the Supreme Court disposed of about eight different legal arguments against Proposition 13, and Rose Byrd was of the opinion that it did violate the federal Constitution, but she was only one of seven. All the other six justices upheld the validity of it. Initiatives are not treated well by the courts. This tells us two things. Number one, there is in fact a general hostility by the judiciary toward the initiative process that you've got to be always aware of. Secondly, it says you've really got to be careful in drafting initiatives. There were drafting, I don't want to say drafting mistakes, but there were not good definitions in the original Proposition 13. And immediately after its passage, even though the California Supreme Court upheld its essential validity, there were some certain definitions that were treated in a very strange way and resulted in changes in the law that we had to come back and do subsequent initiatives to plug the loopholes. We came back in 1986 with Prop 62 to close some of the court-created loopholes, and then 10 years later, in 1996, we sponsored the Right to Vote on Taxes Act, Proposition 218, again to close some of the loopholes created by the courts and the legislature in Proposition 13. And so, yes, Proposition 13 was important. Yes, people like it. But we have to constantly defend it. We have to constantly defend it in the legislature. We have to constantly defend it in the courts. We have to constantly defend it in the arena of public opinion. And that's why I'm on your radio program this morning.
How many of these do you do, John?
We do a lot. I do a lot of media. I'm in the legislature quite a bit. Our lawyer, who himself was formerly of the Pacific Legal Foundation, he's in court all the time. And of course, we have a staff down in Los Angeles as well that helps with some of our communications effort. We're We do a lot of media. I do a weekly column on tax issues and budget issues and Prop 13 issues, and this is just part of what we do.
Sounds like you're pretty well organized.
Well, sometimes I doubt that, but there are days when I question that. But for the
most, because there's nothing imminent right now that you're you know, there's nothing proposed that would eliminate Prop 13. You're not smug, and I think that's pretty neat.
There are proposals in the legislature that would in fact repeal Proposition 13. But the reality is, we can stop those from even getting to the voters because they need a two-thirds vote, and right now we have at least a third of the legislators who are very sympathetic to Proposition 13. So we can stop most of those proposed constitutional amendments in the legislature. We do have problems, of course. There's some not so much Prop 13 issues, but there are some proposed tax increases that will be on the November ballot that we will be opposing. And so we, not only Prop 13, but some general tax issues, we get involved in those as well.
1031 on AM 1080 KSCO now, 1032. It's hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. We're talking about Prop 13 and its future with Howard Jarvis, Taxpayer Association Executive Director, I believe, John Kupal. Am I saying your name right?
Well, I'm the president, and it's John Kupal.
Kupal. Okay, great. And I guess you can be with us for a few more minutes, right? Not much longer.
Yeah, we're going to at about 3 minutes. Unfortunately, I do have an appointment I have to start taking off for. But
okay. Let's take a couple of callers who are on the line. I think Bill in Monterey will take first on line two. Let's bring Bill up.
Actually, you know what, MZ? All those callers dropped off for some reason. So if they want to give a call back,
too late now because it's just we're sort of in the home stretch. Okay, so what can people do to keep Prop 13 on the books here?
Well, they can join our organization. We are not some huge special interest. We're not a public employee union, and we're not a corporation. People who join us, our membership are typically just homeowners, and our dues are $15 a year. Go to our website, www.hjta, for Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, .org, and we have some taxpayer action tools. We have some good information there, how to protect your rights as a taxpayer at the local level, and some statewide issues as well. And we certainly urge people, even if they don't become members, we want them to become members, but even if they can't, just stay informed. Watch your city council, watch your board of supervisors, and it's important that people remain engaged, even though that it is very time-consuming.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, we wish you the best in your activities, and I personally salute you guys for what you're doing. I think it's great.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be in your program.
Okay, thanks, John. Best of luck. That was John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. It's 10:33. Our program is 25% finished, and there is no guest in particular. There's no guest at all. So it's just Noah and me and you, the callers, if you want to call and drive the program. I can tell you something that I did that was sort of interesting this week up here in the Bay Area. I attended a lecture that was put on at UC Berkeley by a group called Media Alliance. This is a group of people who are very, very concerned about the direction that media has taken and continues to take in the United States, and they feel that there needs to be a complete overhauling of the system. Now, back in 1996, there was a Communications Act passed by Congress, which basically, among other things, it had a far-reaching effects, but how it affected our radio industry is that it essentially listed it all, but there really aren't many. It isn't any limit in the number of radio stations a single owner can have. Market. When I got into this business with KSCO in 1991, there was okay. When I got into the business in 1991. There was a limit of one AM and one FM radio station that the same owner could own within a particular market. About a year later, in 1992, it was changed so that the same owner could own two AMs and two FMs. Now, after the Communications Act of 1996, there are limits, but there's essentially no limit. I mean, it really cleared the way for giant media companies to sort of gobble up all the most of the radio stations. And now there is a proposal to allow daily newspapers to own radio stations and television stations as well, which up until now has not been allowed. Years ago, talking about bringing that back. What do you think about this? I think it's a real interesting topic that we started to discuss a couple of weeks ago when Boring Jeff was sitting in the...
All right, well, we are going to need to take a break. We are having a problem with the hotline right now, so you are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. It is the Saturday special with Michael Zwirling, and we'll be back in a couple minutes, so do stay tuned.
We share this tiny planet with all sorts of creatures that wander its surface, creatures big and small. Some of the smallest, like bacteria, fungi, and yeasts, can seriously affect our bodies. Here's pharmacist Benjamin Fuchs to explain how.
Funguses and yeasts are sugar feeders. So right away you can tell that if you're eating a lot of sugar, you're eating a lot of refined carbohydrates, you're going to be feeding that fungus. Secondly, bacteria inside our intestines live in balance with fungus. And when bacteria are in balance with fungus, fungus can't overgrow. However, when bacteria levels drop, so-called good bacteria, then the fungus levels can rise. Bacteria and yeast live in the body in balance, and typically one doesn't overgrow over the other. However, when we drink chlorinated water, or we drink brominated water, or we eat preserved foods, we can kill off our intestinal bacteria. Also, by ingesting a lot of refined carbohydrates and sugars, we can have fungus overgrow, because fungus and yeast are sugar feeders. Both of these in combination can result in fungus overgrowing in the body. So the answer is to take yourself some acidophilus and probiotics to build up that intestinal flora. Fermented foods are a wonderful way to build up the intestinal flora. So all of these strategies can help us rebuild our natural bacteria so the fungus kind of falls in line, all without drugs. Feeding the natural bacteria is a much better way.
American Longevity's Ultimate Killer Biotic incorporates a blend of mushroom extracts, bovine colostrum, and bee propolis, collected by killer bees from the surrounding Brazilian jungle. They used it to keep the hive free of bacteria, yeasts, and molds. And at $32.50 wholesale, you can boost your immune system without draining your bank account. Give your body what it needs to maintain a healthy balance of intestinal flora with Ultimate Killer Biotic from American Longevity. To order or to pick up American Longevity products, please call 1-831-425-3090. That number again is 1-831-425-3090.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
It must be, it has to be, with that big sound it's gotta be, KSCO.
And welcome back to sort of a harried Saturday special with MZ and Noah. It's open mic. We have just concluded a discussion on the future of Prop 13. We're not going to talk about that unless you have something to add to that discussion or want to bring something up in that area. Give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Alternately, you can give us a call at either of those numbers. Talk about the news. Talk about the situation with the prisoners in Iraq. Just about anything goes today at 40 minutes past 10 a.m. It's the Saturday special with MZ. Before the break here, we were talking about media concentration, and there's a group called Media Alliance here in the Bay Area. that is very active in trying to get public awareness of the fact that the public does indeed have input to let the federal government, the Federal Communications Commission in particular, know that if they feel that media policies in this country need to be revamped. And I don't know, what do you think about that? I honestly blow hot and cold on the issue. I have always been a free market person. And when the Communications Act of 1996 essentially lifted all controls on the ownership of radio stations, a lot of people said to me, this is very, very dangerous. You're all of the radio stations are going to end up in the hands of a very small number of media conglomerates, and that cannot be good for the public. And I said, well, look, you know, what will be, will be. I mean, I don't really believe all that much in government meddling in things like that. And as time has gone on, I have changed my attitude somewhat, ladies and gentlemen. As a result of the media conglomerate in the radio industry, or media consolidation, they call it, maybe two companies, two or three companies really dominate the ownership of the whole radio industry, and that would be Clear Channel Communications. It would be Infinity CBS, and I guess ABC Disney is up there. Although a representative from that company not too long ago characterized his own company as a boutique broadcaster. That sort of blew me away. I couldn't believe I was hearing that because it was ABC that he was talking about. So I don't know. People like the concerned in people who are involved with Media Alliance think this is very, very dangerous. I think I feel that way. But won't things sort of take care of itself? Let's talk about that. That would be a really interesting topic. I don't think we've ever brought that up before. Boring Jeff was trying to do that a couple weeks ago, and somehow we got sidetracked into talking about programming on KSCO again, which I don't want to talk about today. So give us a call if you have a topic that you want to bring to the table here, or you want to talk about media concentration. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's horrible. I really don't know. I really, really don't know. I don't think it's good for. I don't think it's healthy for two or three corporations to be able to control media outlets. On the other hand. The laws of economics are economics, and if they don't put out good programming, then they're going to fail too. And other media companies will pop up and emerge and so forth. So, I don't know. What do you think? Give us a call, 479-1080, 477-1340. It's the KSCO Saturday special. Who do we have on the line? Do we have callers? Looks like we have
Ben on the line.
Oh, Ben from Salinas. Okay, Ben, let's hear from Ben in Salinas. The great Ben from Salinas.
Good
himself.
Morning, Michael Z. This is the great Ben. I'm going to briefly touch on three subjects that I'm sure are going to stimulate your callers because the last one.
You always do, Ben.
But I'm going to admonish you on the
Thank
third one.
Thank God you called. I don't know what we would have done if you
no,
hadn't
I'm going
called.
To, but I'm going you to admonish
died.
You. I'm going to admonish you, and maybe your poll of 90% wanting me banned will be accomplished at the end of this conversation. First of all, your Prop 13 thing. For, Meathead, what's his name?
Meathead? Rob Reiner.
That guy's got to go away. I'm sorry. Put him on an island. He's got to go away. He does whatever he doesn't like, he doesn't want nobody doing, and he's wealthy
Meathead
beyond
has
belief.
Meathead has to go. That's true. Okay.
He has got to go.
Okay.
And remember, the two people that are going to, Warren Buffett and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I'm starting to wonder if he was duly elected, but I guess he was. I don't know. These people have made their wealth. Upon when people would lose their homes for taxes, their wealth would double because they made their major monies off of real estate investments. Agreed?
I think most wealth comes from real estate. I would agree.
Okay, now, my next point, the pictures in the media. You notice how President Cheney and Mr. Bush and Rumsfeld are saying, oh, the pitchers were these awful pitchers. They're mad about the pitchers. They have known about this abuse of prisoners since January of last year. Rumsfeld's known. These prison directors have known. They're mad because the pitchers came out. Here's my issue, Michael Z. You're a fair-minded, good America. You love
America.
Yes, I am.
That's exactly right.
You love America, and you love this country, right?
Yes.
You love the Constitution.
Truer words were never spoken, Ben.
Okay. Why are we not hearing about what's being done in our name in Guantanamo Bay? How many of those prisoners from wherever they're from are being given due process? And then if convicted, torture them, kill them, chop them up, eat them for dinner, whatever. But until they've been convicted and had their day in court, what are we doing to those people? We know there's torture going on. Are these torturers being trained at the University of the International Studies that was formerly a School of the Americas, where torture tactics are taught by the CIA peoples who taught the Sandinistas, who taught Bin Laden, who taught Hussein, who taught Castro, who taught Noriega? And is anybody answer for the deaths of 8,000 Panamanians? No. If that's not going to stimulate your callers, now I'm going to admonish you, and respectfully, sir. Because I've been told to watch my mouth. Now, I know 90% of your poll says they want me banned from the air, and I figured that's...
I don't think that's true, Ben. I don't think it's that high.
Okay, but I think it's probably Cyril Vomitsky and his dancing queens, you know, probably don't like what I say, which is cool. This is America. Oh, I have a question for you before my next comment, where you'll probably ban me. See, when you refer to something as seal infested, you know, what's the difference between Cyril Vomitsky and the seals that infest our bay? What's the difference?
I don't know.
The seals belong here.
Now, listen.
Here's the one that's going to may get me banned. Last week, you had a nice program, and you had a very nice young gentleman representing Republicans on the campus. And
yeah.
You had a very knowledgeable, well-spoken, seemingly a very nice young lady, well-spoken, careful in what she says, well thought out, very responsive. And you and Charles Friedman.
Yes.
And the young man constantly were hitting her with viable questions. I don't want to say attack, because I do think most of your questions were respectful, except for one, sir.
Which was that?
You asked her, is it proper for your lefty teachers to teach this left-wing ideologies in the classroom? And she says, well, I don't want to answer that. Well, answer it. Is it proper? Is it proper?
No. That's you're not saying the way it went, Ben.
Well,
I asked her. I said she said that she does not believe that is going on.
Okay, now.
And I said to her,
yeah.
Okay, if it were going on,
exactly.
Do you think that would be right or wrong?
And she refused to answer that question
because she doesn't believe that it's going on. And I told her that she was in a dream world because it is going on.
We all know that it is because these people are, and the schools.
And she said that I was in a dream world.
Well, no, you're very intelligent. However, you kind of badgered her. But here's my angle, sir. You did not ask the same question of the very nice little privileged little Republican gentleman there. That's my anger with you, sir. And if you take issue with my anger, it's your right to ban me from the air. And if you say don't call, that's all it'll take. I will not be admonished by Rosemary or anybody else. They're all my friends down there. I love and respect you all. But it's up to you. You're the boss. You sign the checks.
Well,
and I do respect
the way we do this, Ben,
yes,
just so you know,
yeah.
Is that the talk hosts that we entrust the hours with,
yeah.
The local talk show hours,
yeah.
They're the programmers. They're the ones who decide what their program is going to be like.
And if they don't want
to have you or me or somebody
exactly.
on the program, then they don't have to.
Yeah. And they have the right to admonish anybody.
I choose to have you on, particularly
yeah.
when there are no other callers.
Yeah, but they have the right to admonish anybody to ask them not to call their program, as Cyril Bomitsky and Steve have asked me not to call, and I don't call out of respect for who they are in their position.
Now, why do you call Cyril Vomitsky?
Because
his name is Cyril Vitomsky.
No, Cyril Vomitsky, yeah, because he is totally anti-American. He figures by running with the rich Republicans who are currently trying to do away with our civil rights under this Patriot Act, doing away with our civil rights on the Constitution, because privacy is important. He's an absolute Bush lover, which is okay, but to the detriment is what I don't appreciate. People coming from some other country who grew up in a tunnel putting yeast in outhouses, criticizing we here, whose country it is, you know, and who have paid our blood and soil here. He's paid nothing. Him and his 80,000 Russian immigrants to California get $1,500 a month of free money, tax money. None of them put a dime in the system. I resent that, sir.
Ben, some people feel that you are a racist. Are you a racist? I want you to be. I want you to honestly answer that question.
I am not a racist.
Are you a racist, Ben?
Absolutely. I love all black people, Indians, Hispanics, of which I want, and I love white people that don't rely on white privilege and white affirmative action. We're all equal, so let's be equal. I don't like the racists who think that they get privilege just because of the lack of coloring of their skin. I don't believe in white privilege or white affirmative action.
Okay.
Let's be equal side by side.
Okay.
But I do think that we should pay more respect and attention to the 764 people brought back in caskets from Iraq because of one man. And Tillman, his death, as sad as it was, and my respects to his family, and he is a true American hero. But you know what, sir? There are 764 other heroes of which we know about who deserve equal respect as that gentleman Tillman. And that I don't
like. All
right,
now let's see what Scott Free has to say. He's on line two. Let's bring Scott Free up, our own Scott Free, to talk to MZ and Ben on the Saturday special. Hello, Scott. Are you there, Scott?
Scott dropped off the line, so give us a call right back, Scott. We'll get you up on
the
line.
Are we having problems?
Is it
our phone lines, or people are just hanging? They're calling and just hanging up.
But you know,
if you're
going
to call the radio station, don't hang up, ladies and gentlemen.
Just stay on hold. Michael, you know who I like?
Cereal is on next.
But you know who I like, and we even disagree, but who I like?
Who?
Charles Friedman on 5 o'clock on Sundays. He's what makes Sundays alive. He's brought one of him and the gun guy. And I even like the Jewish lady, what's her name? Between Charles
Hillary.
Huh?
Hillary.
Yeah, I like Hillary.
Okay,
Scott's
good.
Online too.
Okay, good. Scott, yeah, let's go. Scott, you're there, I think, aren't you?
Hello.
Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
With Ben and MZ.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, sir. You're very talented, and you're an asset to the station there.
Well, thank you. I'm glad somebody appreciates my assets.
Many people do.
Let's see. Did I hear you properly when you said earlier that the hosts of the whatever program has complete control over who gets on? If they don't want, and I quote, Ben or me to come on the air, then they don't have to put you on? Did I hear that right?
That's what I said, yeah.
Sweet. So next time you call up and you want to go on the air, we don't have to put you on?
Well, hey, no, you don't have to because you're in control.
We don't bite the hand.
Exactly. I don't want to bite the hand that's signing my check.
Okay,
go.
Well,
not that I would ever ban you from the radio. I just thought it was kind of funny that you're going to say that even if they don't want me on the air. Okay, I'm going to have to call you on that one.
Okay. you never know. I mean, you can still.
Michael's cool. He's open-minded. He's stubborn. He's a stubborn old dude, but he's cool.
Well, who in this world who doesn't have an opinion is stubborn?
You can't
have an opinion and not be stubborn if you want somebody to know what you're talking about. Too many people just want to sit on their hands and keep their mouths shut because they're afraid that they might get snapped at by somebody.
Well, you know, it might not be good for us to be this little provincial, these little act like a little dictator on the radio station and ban people. It's sort of chicken-esque,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But on the other hand, if we have the same people calling all the time,
that's not good.
It's going to bore the audience.
It's better than dead air.
I don't know.
But also, Mancow was doing a heck of a job, you know. This guy is actually standing up for your rights and every rights to advertise intelligent stuff on the airways. What Janet Jackson showing her elbow on a TV, what does that have to do with radio? What is Michael Powell doing?
By the way, I'm happy you brought up Michael Powell because this group, Media Access, that I was talking about earlier.
Yes, sir.
They are going to, they're actively promoting that everybody know about Michael Powell's upcoming visit to Monterey. I think it's going to be at the DoubleTree for a public hearing on media concentration of ownership.
Yes.
And he wants to know what the public really feels about it.
Maybe we should get a KSCO mic down there.
Oh, absolutely. We should do that. Now, the date has not been set yet, but it's supposed to happen in late July. And it was already supposed to happen on April 25th, I think. Or maybe it was March 25th. It was the 25th of one of those previous months.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it was canceled, but it was. And I suppose it's a good thing that it was canceled, because now there's going to be more time to get the word out that your thoughts do count, or at least they're going through the motions.
Yeah, get more people in an uproar to get them out and get those seats filled.
Well, there are people who are in an uproar now about further liberalizing the media ownership allowances.
Freedom is precious.
Yeah, but see, I'm torn, guys. I'm torn on that particular issue, because how can I, in good conscience and consistency, be a free market person and be in favor of any kind of artificial limits imposed by the government?
Well,
on any kind of a thing like that. Explain
that
to me.
But if they're in good taste...
I hate Clear Channel. I wish they'd go away.
If they're in good taste...
But they have a right to be big.
Yeah, but if they're in good taste, then you should be an advocate thereof and just a promoter of honest airways. They promote a bunch of PR campaigns. They call it liberal airways. This is a corporate-owned, corporate voice, Richard Mellencamp, Rupert Murdoch, BS, sir.
Well, it all depends on what your definition of good taste is.
Good taste means respecting our Constitution and having our public officials who swear the oath to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
to mean what they say. It'd be like trying to define what obscene is. You know, ask 20 different people, you're going to get 20 different definitions.
There you go.
Well, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Scott.
Come back to my destination. Lorelei says hi.
Okay, great.
Michael,
Scott, I think we've got Serial Faxer up
next. Okay, now, do you need me to fight with some of your people?
Yes,
or
Serial, because he called when you got on. So let's bring him on.
Okay.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Serial.
Mr. Ben from Taliaferro. I'd like to have a couple words with you, my friend.
The great Ben of Salinas and Taliaferro is a good American who I totally respect.
You worship at the feet of Ben.
Worship at the feet of Ben. You're right.
I hear you calling into him and kissing his ass.
You bet your white booty.
I'll tell you what, dude. Don't get racial with me, all right?
I'm not racial.
You're a homophobic hypocrite, pal, and you're a coward.
No,
you got
not.
That?
I'm no coward.
You're a coward, dude. You had your chance to come in the station.
No.
And
I don't
you're pushed out.
I will not be anybody's
target. And furthermore,
target.
I don't want to hear you using the word faggot anymore. I'd like you to explain to me your homophobic taste, all right?
I'm sorry that your boyfriend's offended, but I won't use that word anymore.
You're a hypocrite, pal.
Okay.
You're a phony liberal.
Bye-bye.
You're counting on Cyril. I heard you calling and kiss his butt 20 minutes at a time, and now he's your enemy?
I know the voice of fear.
You're a hypocrite, pal.
Okay, wait. I just got a caller, and they called to say they love Ben's phone calls. So, I don't know.
I ain't saying Ben, the guy. The more he talks, the more he shows what he is, man. You're a homophobic coward, pal.
Okay, that being the case, should Ben be banned? Not at all. Okay, so
you like it
when he calls, even though he's all those things that you say.
Let him go. If I get to say what he is, he gets to say what he thinks.
Thank you. Okay, sir. Now what do you think of Cyril, Ben?
Cyril?
Yeah.
I think that he's entitled to his opinion.
Oh, you're a kiss ass, pal. Why do you make fun of him and then call him up on his show and kiss his ass?
Because he should be sent back to Russia on the next plane.
How about all your fellow Mexicans?
What?
How about all your fellow Mexicans you're always fighting for?
I was born here, sir.
No, I'm not talking about you, pal.
It's
okay for the Mexicans to come, but not Cyril, right?
What do you mean? What do you mean, come? We are California. We are of the soil.
Don't start your rhetoric with me, buddy, because I don't buy it.
You're
okay?
Outmatched by my intelligence.
You're a coward and a homophobe, dude.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye?
Wait a minute. Who's leaving? Are you leaving?
I ain't leaving.
No. I want to see what Cyril... Let Cyril put his ignorance on the air. Let your callers decide. It's your station. Let these people show their ignorance.
Cyril, are you willing to stay with us for a little bit?
Whatever. Sure.
Okay, right. Because poor Ben wants to leave.
No, poor Ben doesn't want to leave.
Ben,
he doesn't.
You're a coward.
I was saying,
to come in the station and you didn't do it. You're a coward, dude.
I ain't going nowhere. I'm sitting right here.
This is getting good.
Okay,
well,
unfortunately, it's getting good, and the news is going to get us in four seconds.
Hey,
three.
Ben, what's the name of your band?
KSU Santa Cruz, Camel Y, Walton.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSU.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to hour number two. I understand in the home stretch of hour one, somebody called and said they are sick and tired of MZ being sick and tired of there being no calls.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Well, I'm sick and tired of people being sick and tired of me being sick and tired. So take that. Now, if you don't like it, you go change the channel. You understand? Okay. You know, sometimes you have to let people know that on a two-way call-in show that there are lines open. And rather than saying, we have lines open, I like to do it in a different way. Now, whoever that coward was who called Noah to say that they're sick and tired of MZ saying that, I want you to call in and have the guts to go on the air with us and tell me that to my face. All right, now then. Ben and Salinas and Serial Faxer, I understand, are still with us and are willing to go at it some more for some more Train Wreck Radio for those of you who...
Michael.
Yeah.
This is Ben. You know what, sir? I like your spunk.
Oh, you're a kiss-ass.
No, I'm not no kiss-ass. I don't kiss no man's ass.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
How about that spurious BS that you put out on Sean's show last week about how that guy they're holding, Padilla, is related to Nichols? I checked that out with some people that work
Padilla,
in the news business,
Padilla,
and that was...
excuse me if you'll shut up and
why don't you let me finish my sentence,
I'm giving you the statement. Padilla, his sister is married to Nichols, the one that is on trial.
You're full of it.
I am. Did you look on the internet? And
I had two people who work in the business, in the news business, check it out, and they said you're full of it. Pal.
I am full of it. Okay,
as usual.
And if people in the news business would say that, it's got to be true, right?
Well, people in the Ben from Taliaferro business say it. I guess that would make it true.
See, you should say Taliaferro.
Okay, listen,
hey,
you guys.
Respect,
listen. Excuse me. Forgive me, please. Let me just get this. This is a serious matter here, and I need to. We make these kinds of announcements at the beginning of hour number two on the Saturday special, I've actually written this, and so because I wanted it to come out right, so I'm going to read this. Give me a couple minutes here. Many of us at KSCO were saddened last week to learn of the passing of our friend Harry Richardson, also known as
Harry Lee Curtis,
a charismatic local talk host who did both a daily program and a Sunday program on this station during the early 90s. Harry was a former Santa Cruz liberal, nonprofit manager turned calm, cool conservative, influenced significantly by Rush Limbaugh, from whom he learned about KSCO's new management and talk radio format. And Harry used to take delight in exposing the agenda and tactics of the local left in a very clever and humorous manner. Now, local conservatives immediately bonded with Harry and became known as the usual suspects, in quotes, many of whom became good friends of Harry and his wife, Carol. One day, Harry became so irritated about something that he quit his KSCO radio program just 4 or 5 hours before he was to go on the air. We pondered over what we should do come 3 o'clock that day, and then it hit me. There was a very interesting character outside painting our KSDO building at the time, and I decided to tap him on the shoulder and encourage him to go on the air in Harry's spot. That very interesting character was...
Dave
Allen, who rose to the occasion and took over all of Harry's time slots and went on to become yet another local radio icon, like Harry Lee Curtis, yet about as different as you can be from Harry Lee Curtis. Harry Lee Curtis played a big role in KSCO becoming many people's favorite radio station. Take it easy, Harry. We're all going to miss you.
God bless you, Harry.
And sometime when I get a chance, if I can find some old tapes of Harry, we'll play him at an appropriate spot on the station here. So I wanted to get that out. And
He was a piece of work.
Yeah, he had my respect.
So I don't know if you were you did you remember Harry Ben?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know whether you were listening to KSCO back then.
Are you kidding? I'm married to your station. I mean, what a gentleman.
Well, that was a long time ago, though.
What a gentleman. Yeah.
Uh huh. Wow. Okay, you guys. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you in your
Well, that's great. We're in a civil discussion, fight, and then you bring in the Requiem, and now. I expect us to bare our teeth again.
Yeah.
How can we do it?
Well, you guys are pretty talented.
Well, let me say this, and I'm proud to have my name mentioned in concert with Bernie Ward and Ray Taliaferro, two of my heroes from another station, which I will not name. However, let me put something on the table and let Mr. Faxer there react. Is that okay? I have already said I don't like what I call in America white privilege, which exists heavily, and white affirmative action, which exists heavily. It's a fact. No, I have been called on the carpet many times for criticizing Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice.
You didn't criticize him. You used racial terms to criticize him.
Will you
let
me finish my question?
You're a coward.
Okay, Clarence Thomas, Condoleezza Rice, and Colin Powell got where they've gotten by kissing white butts. Now we have O.J. Simpson, Kobe Bryant, and Michael Jackson have been denigrated, all equally as black as the rest. What was their big mistake in life? Their crimes are against white people.
Serial Faxer,
address what I just said, sir.
I said, I'll address that. You're a joke, pal. And
I said.
Why didn't you let me answer?
Answer my question by the question I posed, if you had the intelligence to do so.
Hey,
the callers are listening.
Hey, Ray, why don't you clam up for a second? You're exactly the problem, Ben. You're a provocateur. You got your facts half right. You're always got the hateful angle. You're always calling names. You're using racial terms. You can think Condoleezza Rice is a joke, but when you use a racial term to describe her like you have everyone else, and now you're jumping on Cyril, you're a joke, pal.
Keep crying, and, baby. You're making me sad. Keep crying.
You know what, dude? You're impossible to
keep
have
crying.
An adult conversation.
Is it possible for us to bring Jeff and Carmel into the conversation, or are there too many people on the phone?
I'm
going to
take off. God bless you guys.
Bye.
Well, there goes Cyril.
Have a nice day, Cyril.
Cyril. There goes Cyril. Okay, well, let's bring Jeff from line two, Jeff and Carmel, in on the line.
Boy, this is fun.
How you doing, Michael?
Fine, Jeff. How are you? Are you upset with poor Ben and Salinas?
Don't say poor.
First, I'd like to say that I'm sad to hear that Harry Lee Curtis passed because I really liked him.
Amen.
He was a really interesting fellow. He had
Amen.
Some very interesting insights on... some of the left-wing fanaticism that's, the religious left up there in Santa Cruz.
He had their number.
Yeah. It basically, the left is a collection of cults, is what I call them, neo-pagan, New Age.
Proof?
Cultism.
I think Dan would agree with that.
Any proof?
Dan?
Any proof, Mr. Jeff?
The reason why I called is because I heard the comment that Cyril should be sent back to Russia.
Yes.
Which is kind of like saying black people should be sent back to Africa.
No, because
the I also think that Ben is a racial supremacist and a Fabian socialist.
No.
He's a liar.
Nope.
And,
when the Mexicans cross the border from Mexico.
Wait,
Ben, just let him talk and then you can talk, okay?
I find it very offensive that someone who, expresses such a racial supremacist point of view. I find it fascistic. It's very the debate tactic is ad hominems. There's no real basis of logic in any statements made.
Are you through?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, now Bin Laden and the Bush family have gotten married and formed the Carlyle Group.
I'm not talking about George Bush.
Well, I'm talking. What you're saying? My attacks are ad hominem. I'm giving you some facts. If you'll let me state
you're
them,
not.
Sir.
You're a liar, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay,
and
then I guess
everything.
I don't need to say what I was going to say.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about George Bush.
Well, isn't
Jeff? Jeff,
what are
you
talking about?
Have you been criticizing Ben for calling names and? And you're doing that to him, and so did Serial Facts.
I'm not doing that.
You just called him a liar.
You're calling me a white racial supremacist
saying
or something
that,
like that.
Saying that Cyril should be sent back to Russia is like saying...
Yes, he should.
You know, and, you know, when I've called, or, you know, I've heard other callers call, I don't express points of view based on people's ethnicity.
You don't?
No, I
do. Listen to you. Listen to this tape tonight and you'll laugh at yourself.
I find it very amusing that, you know, the racial issue is brought up because I never bring up racial issues. I never
my
observations
on darling, yes.
People's ethnicity.
Well, Ben, I don't hear many people bring up race except you, I must admit.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know what? Then you don't listen to Michael Savage talk about illegal Mexicans and Mexican this and Mexican that and Redneck O'Reilly and all dope smokers should be shot and Mexican this and Mexican that. And Bush is going to lose the election because he's letting Mexican, they're having this new...
But we're not talking about
amnesty.
But I mean, race is on your station all day long, and much of it's anti-Mexican, and I resent it because when a Mexican...
Well, you know, Ben does make a point here, Jeff,
when a Mexican
and the rest of our listeners.
I'm coming home.
I think we should seriously consider banning all political talk on KSCO because it tends to lead to racist talk.
We'll talk about flowers.
Yeah.
What do you think of that idea?
I just find it very interesting that when you have people like
Ben.
Roy Masters on the air.
Oh, what a clown.
And I find it very interesting the reaction the people.
He's a clown.
How people react to Roy Masters, or when you had Rob Roberts on the air.
He's intelligent.
I find it very interesting how people react. And I don't really necessarily base my opinion of what they have to say on what they say, but by the way people react to it.
Oh, my gosh.
Megadiddles.
Okay.
Or megadoses.
Jeff, thanks for calling the program, okay?
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Let's go to Richard N. Watsonville on line 3. The line that Cyril vacated is now occupied by Richard N. Watsonville.
King Richard.
Hey, Big Mike, Big Ben.
I salute thee.
King Ben. Big Ben from Salinas.
Big Ben is enough. One guy called me Uncle Ben, yeah. And I
Uncle
think
Ben
cute.
And yeah. a Ben Taliaferro or something?
No, they call me Uncle Ben. Well, I think it's cute because, you know, I am blacker than the Ace of Spades, but, you know, inside I'm red, white, and blue.
You are black, Ben?
I thought inside you were pink, man.
Well, everybody's
That's what I was
pink.
Always told.
Ben, are you serious?
Yes, sir.
You are black?
Huh?
You're black?
All Mexicans are part mulatto, of course.
Yeah,
we're all black.
Mean,
we're all black.
Like you're really,
we're all white
really
and
black?
We're all naked.
Are you blacker than Rob Roberts, which isn't very black?
I think Rob Roberts is a very intelligent gentleman with whom I disagree, but he's a gentleman.
Yeah, but that lady said he was a high yeller, right?
And I don't think of his blackness as denigrating at all. I respect him as a man and a father.
You're answering this is the right answer to the wrong question.
Okay, go ahead.
I just asked you if you were blacker, than Rob.
Do I look black?
Yes.
No. I'm a very handsome, well-built
Does Rob character. Look black, Mike?
No.
But we're all black in our heart. I'm black in my heart. And on the air, we're all black and naked and white.
Okay. We're all a bunch of black-hearted SOBs, aren't we?
This is very, very degenerated radio,
theater
but what the hell?
Airways.
You know, I just want to set the record straight.
Yes,
Ben,
yes.
If there's 100% of the people say you should not be banned on
of
our poll,
there.
So I don't know where you got this idea of 97% say you should.
From you, sir, when you told me the results of your poll.
No.
I guess maybe West Side Al just wore out his redial.
Here is the
What does the poll say, Michael?
Here is the poll. It's right on our KSCO.com website. It says... Should ban be binned?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 99% of the complaints recorded on the KSCO comment line, area 831-429-2222, tend to be about KSCO's proverbial angry name-calling caller, Ben in Salinas, who is consumed with hatred toward our President George W. Bush.
That's
Many
fair.
Have said that when Ben comes on spewing invective such as Condoleezza and Jemima Rice,
that
they
like
just
that
turn off the radio, and yet when Ben calls a snoozy KSCO local talk show like this one, it always comes alive. What should we do? Oh, what should we do? And here are the answers. Hell no. Are you nuts? Ben is the only excitement one can get on KSCO. 54% said that. Okay, no. I think Ben is wonderful and should be encouraged to call more often. 33% said that.
Yeah.
And no, the station is better off without Ben's detractors who take themselves too seriously. 13% said that. Okay. Now, what do you think about that? 100, that adds up to 100% of people not wanting Ben to be binned.
Okay, now, thank you for the support of your listeners, and many of them, I really don't agree with me. But you know what? I'll say this and then let Richard talk. I encourage new listeners, and there are many people listening that you don't know, Mike. Most 90% don't ever call. Please call. The more they call, the less I'll call.
Oh, they're scared to death.
Ben, if you're right, if 90% don't call, it means our whole listening audience is about 26. And that makes me very, very sad.
I have, you'd be surprised.
KSU,
I mean, a lot of
people. Listening audience of, I don't know, a half a million or something.
There's a lot of people that love, they love your Saturday special as one of the best programs on KSU. I don't know why, but they do. And I'm one of them. I love the program. I call less. I call more when
And this
when
is why if the other hosts want to ban you, they can. But I don't want to ban you because you compliment me.
Well, thank you. Maybe someday
I'll be Well, why should there be any banning at all? What the hell's going on there, Michael? I don't call during the week because that old hag from England, Rosemary, you know.
Ooh, hey.
I'm telling you, that there is one person that started all this banning business.
Yeah, but hey, she's my friend. Be nice.
Ah, she can be your friend, but she's not my friend.
Well,
I mean,
a wonderful
I don't
day
call during the week because she's in the office. I don't want to talk to that old hag.
No, don't.
Because
don't.
She started banning people.
No, wow.
I mean, if you're going to point the banning finger to somebody, you got to, you know, it all started right there. I mean, when she started cutting people off from the other studio or wherever she was at.
Controversy makes for good broadcasting, but we don't respect our fellow.
No, I'm just telling you, Michael, I mean, you know, you're talking about something that you actually had nothing to do with. What, you banned Harold from Aptos from listening to the station?
Yeah, well,
from listening?
Set up a phone line.
Only once or twice in the history of KSCO have I felt it necessary to withdraw someone's listening privileges.
Right. Even Harold.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was a good psychiatrist for Harold. That little phone line, all you had to do is just not even listen to it.
Wait, how can you ban someone from listening to our station?
It's very easy. You stick something in their ear.
Send them a bill.
Hey, is it true that ACA is on line two?
ACA?
Yeah.
It's ASA.
Oh, ASA.
Well, it's ASA, not ACA.
Look out, ASA.
God, where did you go to school?
I got blackjack in my mind, I guess.
Oh.
I'll bet you got something more than blackjack in your mind.
Can you bring ACA in this conversation, or are there too many of us already?
Yeah, if I do, then we're going to either have to lose.
All right, I'll drop off here.
Who would you rather lose?
I'll drop off and let Ben have the floor, man. I enjoy Ben. I enjoy Serial Faxer. They can all call. I love Jeff from Carmel.
Yeah, me too.
Richard, you are a true selfless person.
And
thank
Jeff
you very
well,
much.
Well, all these guys are definitely candidates for the Caller Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And Jeff is not boring.
Yeah, oh, no. Well, I'm not talking about boring Jeff. I'm talking about Carmel Jeff.
Do you think Carmel Jeff is boring?
No. Well, no, he has a point of view, and God bless him. You know?
Yeah, if he wants to talk about cars, we want to listen to it.
I like talking about cars.
Yeah, that's what he's good
Jeff
at.
Boring Jeff talks about cars, not Carmel Jeff.
Okay. No, Carmel Jeff's like a Ted Nugent.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll see you guys.
Bye-bye, Richard N. Watsonville.
Adios, King Richard. Okay, now be careful. Ace,
here here comes ACA.
So am I there?
Hi, Aka.
Hi.
Welcome to America.
I just felt like it was time for a female voice to come on.
I think you're the only one listening. Only female listening.
I just wanted to say it's probably the only one who can stand you all. I mean, in other words, it's nice to have conversation, but it's nice to have give and take. But it's really hard when people shout and act nasty. It really is. I think it's wonderful to hear a different point of view. Ben wouldn't be bad if he didn't repeat himself so often. And you always know what he's going to say when he's going to say it.
Stupid people.
And Richard, I love Rosemary. I don't know why you could. I think Rosemary is just about one of the greatest things there is in KSCO.
She's a wonderful person.
And I just say I get really uptight when people talk about people meanly. There is enough meanness that goes on in the world. Maybe we could have a mean day or
Kumbaya.
Something. But why a mean every day?
Kumbaya.
What?
Kumbaya. Let's all sing Kumbaya.
I was having dinner last evening at a restaurant, and there was a crying baby. Now, the parents were
they were pretty considerate. They didn't let the baby cry too long before they picked the baby up and took the baby out. And I mentioned to my friends with whom I was dining, I said, if I ever open a restaurant, it's going to be a baby-free restaurant. And someone said, would that be allowed?
Well, I think that everybody should have a chance and have a little time, but I think a little time is enough. I think a long time is too much.
But what about that idea?
So much.
I've been told that my meatballs, my Nunna meatballs, are so good that I should manufacture them and have a restaurant that has Nunna meatballs.
I'll eat there.
And then and if I do that, I would make it so I wouldn't want babies to attend and give people indigestion by crying all the time. More often than not, the parents are clods and they let the baby cry and make people's times at the restaurant miserable. Now, I would actually do that. And would I get in trouble for discriminating against babies or families,
Michael,
who have babies?
When a whole family comes in to eat.
I guess you have no use for a female voice.
No, I want to know. That's I'm asking you.
I just don't ever can tell whether I was still on or not.
You're on.
I think that it is hard to be a parent. And I remember, though I've been a long time ago, when I had babies. And parents most often want their babies to be quiet. But babies are often unreasonable, just like people on talk radio. And so you give them a little time, and then you take them out and change their pants or do whatever you need to do, and they come back and they don't cry. I mean, life is that way. You have to have give and take. So I would take my baby.
Would you attend a baby-free restaurant?
Well, I would attend.
Would you dine at a baby-free restaurant?
I would attend the restaurant if I liked the meatballs, and I would not pay attention much to anybody else that wanted something else.
Okay. Well, that's what I want to know. I want to know if I open a restaurant that's a baby-free restaurant, would people attend? Would people dine there? Number one, and number two, could I get in trouble with the authorities for discriminating against babies?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, I'm sure in this town, you could probably be discriminated against if you bandaged your toe wrong. I don't think that's a thing, Bill. It's an idea. Try it, Michael.
Yeah,
you don't have enough trouble.
I'm thinking seriously of it. But it would have to be a baby-free restaurant.
Michael?
Oh, okay. Well, Asa, thank you. Your point is well taken that you don't care for mean people on talk radio.
Well, I think let me just put it this way, that the time has to do with, in other words, it's going on and on about these things that is going to be a drag. It's short and sweet. It's much more to the point. Cheerio.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Akka. There goes Akka. A listener wants to know the name of Ben's band.
Michael.
What is it?
May I ask you something?
What's the name of your band, Ben?
I don't put that on the air because I don't mix my on-the-air personality with my public performance because I don't want any KSCO morons giving me problems.
Oh. Okay. How do you know it was a KSCO moron that wanted to know? Maybe it's one of your fans.
Respect, I'm not saying it was, but I just don't want the fringe element giving me problems.
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
that
anyway,
sounds a little paranoid to me,
those
Ben.
Those that need to know, they know. But as far as the babies in restaurants, remember, when you own a restaurant, a big part of your income on that till is families coming out. And I, being an entertainer and worked a lot of restaurants, you know, some people, you have a crying baby or one or two babies or even kids that are not babies but are very fussy and noisy. If you make a criticism or draw attention, some parents get irate beyond belief.
That's true.
And,
so we don't
and
want.
I love children.
I wouldn't want them at my restaurant.
I love children, but remember, the family ideal is a big part of the restaurant dollar. So
just like people who don't appreciate KSCO,
yeah,
should not be forced to listen to KSCO, and if they push the envelope too far, we actually do withdraw their privileges. Now let's go to line. Is it line two that has? No, line four, who has Jim in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Who's been waiting a long time.
Okay, Jim, all due respect, one comment on what Asa said before we get to Jim here.
Yeah.
She said something about that I'm too repetitive.
Yes.
Remember, many things are very important and need saying about the importance of the pictures of the mistreatment of prisoners over what was actually done. They're not mad what was done to those fellow human beings. They're mad about the pictures coming out and that they're... See, they spend their life pulling other people's pants down, but when theirs are pulled down, they get irate. And that's their anger is with those pitchers and that they got found out, because we still don't know what's going on at Guantanamo Bay, which has to be a hundredfold of what's going on over there.
Now, that's what they're talking about.
In Abu Dhabi prison.
You're repeating yourself.
No,
you said
I'll
that already.
Up. I'll let the new guest talk.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Yes, good morning, Michael.
How are you?
I'm not bad. I find this interesting, very interesting, because I was going to try and contact you off air. I have a question. In the current political climate, either good or bad, and mostly bad, is when it comes to the FCC.
Amen.
Must give yourself, and I know that you're a personal friend of Mankow's.
Yes.
Some problems, but as what I want to know is, we know, for instance, that political satire has been a part of this country forever, and that there are certain people who, particularly be they elected, are open to pretty much anything these days. However, when it comes to a private citizen, for instance, if I were to come on the air and call a private citizen a faggot, which is very poor taste.
It's rude.
And yes. In Santa Cruz would be considered hate speech.
No, it's rude. It's not hate speech. It's
how
rude.
Is that justified? Was it doesn't
and,
that
in Canada it's hate speech too.
It's rude.
Yes, they just passed that law that you cannot it's not only hate speech, it's a violation of law.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
In many places, you know, hate speech, for instance, Santa Cruz is a violation of the law. Now, I just don't understand how are 7-second delay systems very expensive? Is that your reason for not? I mean, I don't know how you can open yourself to the liability of allowing people to say whatever they choose on the.
Well, we don't do that.
It's called freedom of speech.
No, Ben.
But I mean,
I
do apologize for those I've insulted with my invectives. However, I'm just too intelligent, but I have to ameliorate the use of my descriptive adjectives, and I do apologize. But I think John Walker Lynn's dad is of a questionable character, and that they're ready to punish Padilla.
You can say anything you want, Ben, on KSCO, as long as you continue to compliment MZ and K.
Well. You own the station, and I respect
right.
what the station's about.
As long as you compliment
about.
Us, you can say whatever you want, whenever you want.
No, I won't do that.
So, okay. Now, Jim, we don't use the audio condom. Maybe we should.
Yeah,
okay?
Well, audio condom?
Well, yeah. Is that okay to say?
I'll get off the air, but let me get this right. Then it is possible to call KSCO and call a private individual a faggot on the air.
No,
we don't like it. We would probably invite you not to call.
Yeah, that's not nice to say.
In that
you
kind
Nino,
of
well, you have a person on the air that you're not. You
that's not very nice.
Who
to
is
say
that?
I would refer you to a week ago Friday's noontime show, where the person that you're talking to referred to a private citizen as a faggot.
You did, Jim?
John Walker Lynn's father.
Jim referred to someone as a faggot?
I did not.
You said the person I'm talking to.
Ben did.
Ben.
Oh, that person.
But you don't see any...
The intelligent one.
You saw the headlines in the Sentinel the other day about this being one of the third gayest communities. You don't see any liability from some offended gay person
out there? Yeah, I do. So, Ben,
yes, sir.
Did you really say that?
Oh, yeah, sure. I said John Walker Lynn's father, his faggot father, blah,
Ben,
blah, blah. And
Ben,
I apologize
please,
for
Ben,
offending
don't
the gay
say,
community because I think everybody should...
Ben,
pull
their
that's
pants
not cool. on when they want to.
That's not cool, Ben.
I'm sorry, sir. And I do apologize to those that took offense.
Yeah,
I just
please,
described
please
one
don't, because that could cause all kinds of problems.
But
for
you
us,
know what?
You wouldn't want that.
But let me say this: I find it more offensive that we're ready to accept 747 caskets coming from Iraq. And by a war started behind a pack of lies, I find that much more offensive than saying fag on the air.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much. Let's go to Big Gun Gordy on line 2, and then we're going to go to Brian on line 3. So,
Gordy's a hero, but I will not address Brian because he's a rape.
Hello?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Gordy.
Hi.
Very good show on Sunday afternoons at 3. I'm an avid listener, and I respect everything you do, sir. And you got the balls to stand up for what you believe in. I guess I can say that on the air.
I think you're saying it to the wrong person.
I'm saying it on the air. That's a lot of wrong right persons.
Hey, Gordy?
Yes.
Do you have a radio show on KSCO?
3 o'clock.
Not anymore.
What?
No. I was working with Robbie, but...
I got you mixed up. I'm sorry.
Certain events transpired. We couldn't get support.
Yeah, okay. Noah pointed out that I was wrong the other day when I said you're back on. I thought Robbie was.
I thought so, too.
Oh, no, no.
He was for a while.
Yeah.
He was as long as he could afford the $450 an hour, but we couldn't get the support, so that was the end of the show.
Okay.
Maybe they should have the Ben show.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about last week, just briefly, when you had the two students on.
Okay.
I tried to call in, couldn't get in. I wanted you to ask those two people representing the conservative and liberal point of view a simple mission statement, what they stand for.
That was Estefan and Matt, the two 17- and 16-year-old. I think they said they were the young gay Republicans for Bush, and I think they're nice young men.
that wasn't quite it, Dan. No, my point being that there was a lot of talk, but it really went nowhere because there wasn't a basis for the conversation. I wanted to know, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners wanted to know, simply what they stood for. What was their mission statement from the two allegedly opposing points of view?
Well, you know, Paul Sanford, their babysitter, wouldn't let any questions come near him. He was too busy over there crying.
Wasn't
over there
Paul Sanford, Ben? It was Charlie Friedman.
Is
and
that
me.
Friedman? On the no. Friedman was last week. The one with these two young, the gay Republicans for Bush was the week before, sir. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're mistaken.
Paul Sanford didn't play babysitter.
No, Ben is right. Paul Sanford was here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the babysitter.
Well, Paul Sanford is on my
list. That was
list.
During Cyril's program. It wasn't during
you're right.
Saturday
Excuse
special.
Me. Correction taken. Very well, Michael. See, that's why you get the big bucks. You're smart. You're the boss.
Speaking of the boss, Michael, you need to be down to that station more often. I mean, it's great that you're calling in. Where are you up in Napa now or someplace like that? You need to be down there. Somebody just mentioned Rosemary, but I think they misjudged her. She is a wonderful manager, but she's got a bipolar disorder. And anybody that's seen the other side of her knows this. So you need to be down there to keep an eye on things.
Hey, she's not bipolar. Don't say that.
Well... I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner. I'm trying to be as polite as possible. She does have.
Thank you for your opinion. Let's sort of keep it not away from the personal.
Well, all right, on a non-personal level.
I know. Yeah, I should have said that earlier in this conversation.
She's a strong,
intelligent
woman, and she deserves your respect, sir.
She does deserve respect.
Your respect.
But she's no perfect person.
Nobody's
perfect.
Nobody's perfect,
sir.
Okay. Gordy, thank you for your call. We got to move on to Brian.
Change the subject here.
On line three.
Okay, listen, I'll give you the airways and let Brian...
No, wait a minute. Wait, what? Brian, is this someone you don't want to talk to?
Well,
I don't even
guy,
know which
the guy
Brian
he
this
says
is.
The first sign of feeble-minded is a name caller, then he calls on to call me Uncle Ben. You read it.
No, wait a minute.
Okay.
This might be someone else. You don't have to respond because...
Brian in Prunedale?
I don't know. It doesn't say where Brian is.
I'll stay then.
Is Brian on?
Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm usually on. And that's the way I like it.
Okay. Now, is this Ben's nemesis, Brian?
I don't consider myself anyone's nemesis.
Does he have a reason to not want to stay on with you?
If he's not on the radio right now, that's fine. I would like him to produce some documentation to support his claim that Halliburton has been indicted. He insisted that was the case and also insisted that he's always right and always tells the truth. And I'm still waiting to hear the report of some evidence of his claim, and I don't expect it to be forthcoming.
That's beside the point.
My real point is that why does every Saturday special have to become the Uncle Ben program?
Proof of what I just said.
Because nobody else calls. When we don't have our act together and don't have a subject, there are no callers because I'm not that good a host.
I've been trying
to
call the last 45 minutes.
And then the calls start ringing. Then the phones start ringing.
Anyway, I'm
answering your question in an honest way.
Well, I tried calling for a long time. I was busy, for the last 45 minutes, and that's good for you.
It's been busy? Wow.
It doesn't tell on my computer screen. There's only been two or three phone calls on at the most.
Well,
we got way more lines.
I wanted to point something out. I hope other people have noticed this, that these prisoners in Iraq that are allegedly being mistreated, we don't know if they are the torture masters that dumped their own neighbors and friends into the wood chippers over there. We don't know if they're the same individuals that were pulling the fingernails and toenails and tongues out of their neighbors. And I got to know, you know, considering that they have no constitution like we have here, no Bill of Rights, it's commonplace for people over there to run around with RPG launchers, machine guns, killing school buses full of children, blowing each other up. You know, given the choice of the wood chipper or my clothes off and a leash, give me the leash.
I hear you.
Well, where's that side of the picture coming out?
What's the difference of their tongues being pulled out and them being tortured either by George Bush's Republican Guard or Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard? And what's the difference between that and the thousands upon thousands of men, women, children, and babies blown into bits and pieces all over the streets of Iraq or Afghanistan just so the Carlyle Group and George Bush and Couchy Texas can have dinner?
The Tree of Liberty, my neighbor,
Tree of
must
Liberty.
Be watered
do
from time
know
to
what
time.
You say? I thought
Pardon
you
me?
Guys didn't like the word liberty, which liberals come from.
That is an absolute fantasy in your own mind. It didn't come from liberal.
It didn't?
No.
Liberty doesn't come from liberal?
No, liberty comes from liberty.
Okay.
Like it's probably a Latin term.
Like you
used the other day, incognito, when you meant incommunicado. You're
right.
So bright, you're so great, so intelligent.
Very, thank you. You're very
sarcasm off.
Okay.
Please, no more Uncle Ben show on Saturday special. I'm gonna turn the radio off next Saturday if
it
happens again.
Okay, Brian, please
Brian,
don't
you through
do
crying?
That.
I know you're listening. Are you through crying now? You'll be listening next Saturday. You can't
Brian's gone.
Okay, here comes Richard Quigley on line four.
Oh, here's a...
Caught
Richard
me with Quigley a mouthful
is one
of
my
food,
heroes.
Michael.
What'd you say, Richard?
You caught me with a mouthful of food.
Well,
I was
happens,
eating
to,
my lunch,
happens to the best of us.
I was listening, and first thing that happens, I heard Ace in there, and I just love that lady. I just thought I'd say hi to her because I know she's still listening. There's a couple things I wanted to touch on, Michael, just for the sake of discussion.
Please.
One of them is this whole thing about racist. I was listening to this racist this and racist that. I think that we have lost track of who we are racially. I do not believe that the complaints about Mexican-Americans by Steve Savage or Mexicans in general by Steve Savage is racist.
Michael Savage.
I think it may be nationalist, but I don't see it as racist. The way I was raised, the people that occupy Mexico and the people that occupy the United States are primarily in the Caucasian race. So I hear these discussions all the time come by, and people are pounding that it's racist, racist, racist. It's not.
It is.
And if we look at it as nationalist, then I think that we can approach whether or not we want to do that. Does that make sense?
Boy, are you disillusioned.
I'm disillusioned?
You're disillusioned. Haven't you heard the statistics on this morning's news, how the money that the Hispanics have come across the border in Texas, Arizona, California, New Mexico, their money is vital to the sustaining of the Social Security system because the money that comes out of their paychecks to sustain the system?
Ben.
They're the new workers that are keeping it flowing.
Ben.
Not quickly.
What does that have to do with racism?
Because you people, you like to tar... all Mexicans as illegals. You don't want Mexicans to get driver's licenses and insurance,
Ben,
but do you want safe roadways and insured drivers?
Ben, I'm not going to talk over you. I'm just going to tell you that you and I are the same race, buddy, and if you don't like it, get used to it, because that's the way it breaks down. There's only three races. That's what I learned way back when I went to college.
Caucasoid, Negroid, and what's the other one?
Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid.
There you go.
We are of the same race, Ben. End of discussion. Now, one more thing, and then I'm out of here.
It's not the end of the discussion.
The other thing that's driving me wild these days, Michael, is this whole thing about what's going on over there in Iraq with these tortured prisoners.
Yep.
We are involved in a war. We are in a war that is going to cost the lives of young Americans either here or there.
Why are we involved in the war?
I totally support George Bush and what he's decided to do over there.
Why are we in war?
Why are we at war?
Why are we at war?
I think you need to,
Why are we killing people in Iraq when none of them had nothing to do with the Twin Towers?
Really?
The Saudis did. Why are we killing people in Iraq? Why do we have 747 coffins coming back with George Bush's name on them? Why?
Ben.
Why?
As
can
far
you
as
say Carlyle Group?
As far as
can you say Enron?
Ben,
can you say
maybe we better talk about you behind your back from
can
now
you say,
on.
Can you say Kellogg Brown and Root?
You're equipped funny, Ben. You
can
got
you say
one
President
round,
Cheney
you
and yeah. Charlie McCarthy Bush who will not testify under oath
Lord.
When they preach Jesus? Why?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I don't know. I'm gonna go take a nap. You guys finish off.
No, I got no time. I'm not gonna get into this with him.
No, I put it on the table.
Do I get to say what I called to say, Ben?
Yeah, Ben, let him talk, okay? And then we're gonna take a Judy's phone call, and then we're gonna take a break, and
okay.
So forth.
The only other thing that I wanted to handle was this whole thing of the bashing that's going on the Bush administration. Over what happened with those prisoners and that all that nonsense that took place over there, and I mean disgusting nonsense. I don't know if you listened yesterday, Michael. I sat through the discussion with Rumsfeld, who I do. I'm not a big fan of Rumsfeld, but he's doing a good job as far as I can tell. I don't know how much more sincere his apology could have been.
Ben, don't laugh,
don't
please.
Be rude. Try that one little thing. Don't be rude. I've never been rude to you, and I'm not going to put up with it from you. Don't be rude.
Yes, darling.
They sat there in that committee, and he explained when he found things out. He explained the mistakes that he made in not telling George Bush about it, and he explained that we are going to act decisively to try to recoup as best we can from the damage that was done because of the torture of those prisoners.
He's a wonderful
and think,
man, and I'm sure he's going to continue being our Secretary of Defense.
Oh, I really hope he is.
You
I really hope he is.
On that?
And when we look at this thing in another 6 months or 9 months down the road, when these people that committed these acts, that disgraced this country, that disgraced all the young men that have been over there and are over there putting their lives on the line for this country, when those people are finally dealt with, I think the picture will be clear to the American people, and I most certainly hope it will be clear to those people in Iraq and in the Middle East that the United States does not stand for that kind of treatment going either direction. I do not believe the Bush administration or Rumsfeld has in any way tried to cover anything up. I think that they're going to fix that problem and decisively. I think we're going to end up being proud of how they handled it, forever ashamed that they had to.
Richard,
that's all I really wanted to bring to
thank
conversation.
Thank you. I'm really
today,
happy
Michael.
You called in. Everything okay. Going well?
You know why I agree
wait,
with
wait,
him?
Ben. Wait, no, Ben. No,
well,
thanks.
I'm going to tell why I agree. Because in 9 months, we're going to have a new president who's going to be elected this thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, everything's going fine. You know, I'm putting this little T-shirt shop together
yeah,
over
people have been asking about you.
Pardon?
People have been asking about you, you know, on the comment line and emails and so forth. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so we just, it's nice to hear your voice. Nice to hear you're doing well.
Well, what a surprise. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks. Now, it says a listener, a cowardly listener says, if you think this is good radio, you need to find a new occupation. I assume that's directed to me.
I didn't say that, Michael.
No. Noah wrote that on the, he didn't say a cowardly listener.
I added
the cowardly listener because the listener didn't say who they were.
I like Richard's call.
Okay. Gary in Santa Cruz, line three. Oh, Judy, excuse me, on line two. We need to take her phone call, and then we're going to go to a break here.
Hey, Michael, do you think I should leave the area?
Yeah.
Huh?
You're interrupting too much.
Yeah, I'll leave
you. Just be
quiet.
Just be quiet for a minute.
I apologize for my rudeness. Bye.
Okay. Oh, God.
What?
Oh, that man. Okay, Ben and I are totally of the opposite affiliation as far as government and politics and whatever.
Yeah.
However, there is one thing that he should think about before he says things, and that is the difference between the boys being blown up and the children being hurt and the fingernails and whatever, all the torture. The difference is we're Americans, and those are American boys. They are Iraqis. Now, if I have to choose who the heck gets blown up, hurt, beat, whatever, I would choose not to have it be an American boy. He should think about that. That's the difference. That's all I have to say, Michael.
Well, we're awfully happy you said that,
And I hope Ben got to hear it because...
So, too. He's rude. He's very, very rude, and I'm glad I didn't have to try to say what I had to say with him constantly interrupting, laughing.
Well, it sounded like you didn't want him to leave.
I wanted him to hear what I had to say. I hope he's listening.
Right. Okay, that's good. And if he doesn't, he can listen to the rerun this evening. Thank you very much for calling in, Judy. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Here comes here comes a break because we only have 10 minutes remaining. Then we're going to go to Gary in Santa Cruz and whoever else might be on the phone line. But right now, it's KSCO AM 1080, the Saturday special, train wreck program. And we'll be back, so we hope you'll stay with us. But if you don't, we understand.
We're here to make your patio bright, cheerful, and comfortable. Hello, I'm Fred Reiswitz.
And I'm Debbie Reiswitz. The patio shop is stocked to the rafters with the recliners, tables, chairs, cushions, umbrellas, and lights you need to make your patio the best place in California to rest and relax. Listen.
Put a big smile on Mom's face this Mother's Day with a gift of beautiful patio furniture from the patio shop. The patio shop is stocked to the rafters with recliners, tables, umbrellas, lights, barbecues, and colorful accessories Mom will love. And this Mother's Day, the patio shop is going to put a smile on your face as well by paying all the sales taxes. That's right. No sales tax on Mother's Day gifts at the patio shop. And if you bring Mom in Saturday or Sunday, the patio shop will even give her a rose.
We're here to make your patio the best place in California to rest and relax.
Stop by the patio shop on water near Ocean in Santa Cruz and take home some color and comfort for your patio. That's the patio shop, 420 Water Street, Santa Cruz.
For rest and relaxation, it's the patio shop.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangerl. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangerl family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Take a vacation from the traditional routine and come to Go Figure Fitness in downtown Santa Cruz. I'm Teresa, and I'm the owner of Go Figure Fitness for Women. We offer the popular 30-minute workout, but with so much more. Having more than 15 years' experience in health and fitness, I offer personal training and nutrition. These services are automatically provided in your all-inclusive membership. While having incentives and motivational programs, members receive personal attention while exercising with friends in a fun atmosphere. But don't stop there. Let's talk nutrition. Now that you're ready to get totally fit, don't forget to fuel your body with the finest in nutritional supplements from American Longevity. Stop by Go Figure Fitness in downtown Santa Cruz on Cathcart Street and pick up your American Longevity supplements and find out how you can purchase them at wholesale prices. Get your complete workout, nutritional counseling, and American Longevity products here at Go Figure or call us at 426-3948. 426-3948.
This is your favorite radio station, KSCO, Santa Cruz, California, 1080 on your dial.
MZ. Hey, you know, I think I've got a good hotline now, so why don't you bring me up? I said that last time, I know,
What the heck? Let's give it a whirl. Hey, has anybody heard about the Rambo Granny of Melbourne, Australia? Gun-toting granny Ava Estelle, 81, was so ticked off when two thugs raped her 18-year-old granddaughter that she tracked the unsuspecting ex-cons down and shot off their testicles. The old lady spent a week hunting those men down, and when she found them, she took revenge on them in her own special way, said Melbourne police investigator Evan Delp. She then took a taxi to the nearest police station, laid the gun on the sergeant's desk, and told him as calm as could be, "Those bastards will never rape anybody again, by God." Cops say convicted rapist and robber Davis Firth, 33, lost both his penis and his testicles when outraged Ava opened fire with a 9mm pistol in the hotel room where he and former prison cellmate Stanley Thomas, 29, were holed up. Hey, I know Stanley Thomas, but he'd be older than 29. The wrinkled Avenger also blew Thomas's testicles to kingdom come, but doctors managed to save his mangled penis. Police said the one guy Thomas didn't lose his manhood, but the doctor said I talked to said he won't be using it the way he used to. Both men are still in pretty bad shape, but I think they're just happy to be alive after what they've been through. Gary in Santa Cruz, line 3, you're on the Saturday special. Hey there. Hello, Gary.
Gary, you there?
Still there? Oh, Bill.
What line
okay.
did you say Gary was on?
3.
So, there we go. Now he should be there.
Okay, Gary. Yeah, we can hear you now. Sorry.
It's like I get the urge to call when I don't call very often, but for the other dog.
Well, you just got the urge to call? What do you have the urge to say?
Well, I sort of felt sorry for that guy, Ben. I don't know when he's on or if he's still on, but I thought the people who were calling in were the rude ones. And I didn't hear him. I thought he was handling himself very well under that type of pressure.
He is. He
and I'd like to know when
very
he is
well.
On, if he's still on.
No, he's not.
He is? He's not?
He's not on.
Oh, okay.
No.
He sounded like
Ben
an interesting
is,
person.
Ben silenced himself today.
Okay. He sounded like an interesting person, and I would like to have him back on the radio station if he could ever decide to put him back on. I don't mind. I'm black, and I don't mind him calling Connelly's wife, Aunt Jemima, whatever he did, or kissing behind. I don't care about that.
Really black? Or are you just pulling our lariat?
No, I am. And, I mean, that's his opinion. You know, he can have it. If he wants to write it off like that, that's fine. But
you know, you don't sound black to me.
I'm sorry, but I am. But I don't deal, you know, he's not going to, that's not going to, I still want to hear his point of view. And it's too bad that he's off. I think, probably had a lot to
how
say.
Long did you listen to today?
I think I started about 10:30.
Oh, okay. So you heard most of, did you hear when he first came on?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, because Ben was not scheduled to be a guest. Ben is a regular caller, and he's a very interesting and controversial and very passionate caller, and it's true that when he calls, the phones light up.
Oh, so he's always been a caller. He's never been a talk show host.
He's never been a talk host. I've wanted him to be one. But
oh,
he doesn't want to be.
I thought that somebody had banned him from being a talk show host again. Oh, okay.
So No.
That's why I was asking, when could I hear him again? Okay, well, then maybe you should have.
I would say keep listening, and I'm sure you'll hear Ben because, you know, we sort of have fun by asking our listeners, you know, if they think Ben should be Ben.
Well,
it's on our website under KSCO polls.
Okay.
And so far, 100% of the people, at least who responded to our web poll, say that he should not be binned.
Okay. Well, maybe one day you'll have him as a talk show host. I think that would be interesting.
I think that would be absolutely wonderful. I really do. But he doesn't want to. We've offered it to him, and he doesn't want to be.
Oh, I see.
And so if he's going to be a caller, you know, that we bring on, that we let stay on sort of a long time like we did today,
right.
You know, he interrupts people, and that's not right. I mean, hosts, I guess, can do that if they're going to be bombastic hosts, but callers shouldn't do that. Callers shouldn't be allowed to take over the program when they're not a host themselves.
I see what you're saying. Okay,
yeah.
So much.
Okay, well, thanks very much, and if you say you're black, I believe you.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. It was, I guess we're in the home stretch of the program. There's only about 40 seconds left. So, Noah, I want to thank you very much. I think both Kay and Rosemary would be embarrassed and would rather I not thank them for this program because it was a train wreck. But it's not their fault. It's mine. So, but never be apologetic. Always be proud that we're your favorite radio station and the last independent radio voice. This program will be broadcast between 10 p.m. and midnight tonight or on demand on KSCO.com. So thanks again. And do we have the That's All Folks this time? I think we do. Don't we? Good.
That's all, folks.
Good evening. KSCO Santa Cruz and KOMY Watsonville now end our broadcast day. We are owned and operated by the Zwirling Broadcasting System Limited. Our studios and transmitters are located at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. KSCO is licensed to broadcast on a daytime full power of 10,000 watts at 1080 kilohertz. KOMY is licensed to broadcast on 1,000 watts full-time power at 1340 kilohertz. Thank you for joining us. And good evening.